At the World Food Prize here in Des Moines, Iowa, Andrew Wiedemann from Australia has been part of the TAT Global Roundtable, and we've been talking about a lot of different things. So one of the things you and I kind of chatted about the other night was how precision agriculture's changed in Australia. Tell me about that.
Yeah, look, it's over the last 10 years, we've seen a dramatic change in Australia, driven mainly by weather conditions. It's driven no-till to the extent that now it is the predominant way of farming within Australia. In fact, 95% of the crop sown would be either under a minimum till or a no-till situation. And retention of stubble has proved to be of enormous benefit to the Australian grain grower because of the moisture that it helps to retain in the soil. So standing stubbles are basically the way of the future, and direct sowing in between the rows. So particularly where pulses are sown in Australia, we're seeing growers sowing within the rows of the previous crop, and that's helping to make like a small humidity crib, I guess, in a sense, to allow the seedlings to grow and mature and grow to a reasonable size. And particularly now that we're seeing in the instance of Roundup Ready canola coming into the rotations, that's allowing growers to then sow quite early, put the canola in the ground. The moisture, because canola is such a small sensitive seed in the Australian environment, the stubble helps to retain moisture even from the morning dews, and that's helping to see germination. So look, it's certainly a big thing for Australia. We're very early adopters of new technologies, and this has certainly helped us with the advancement of agriculture within Australia itself.
So what's some of the primary things that you're going to find in the cab of your tractor to help you get that accuracy down to a precision?
Yeah. So in conjunction with a lot of the machinery manufacturers, we're seeing most growers now on 2 centimetre accuracy using base stations, either remote base stations on their own properties if they're in a station situation, or where I farm in Victoria, there's a local network set up through the local dealer, and that's the base network that we're using currently. So one of the problems we are seeing, though, is the difference in configuration between what I'd say the green and the red, the Case and the John Deere systems within Australia, which is frustrating a lot of people, because you do want to have choice in terms of machinery selection, and 0 degrees you would think would be 0 degrees in this instance for both John Deere and for Case, but unfortunately it's not, and that's really frustrating growers. But the uptake of auto steer is phenomenal. There wouldn't be a tractor sold that is in broadacre without auto steer being attached to it now in Australia, and that's all come about since early 2001. Where it was actually ourselves and another grower in Victoria were the first growers in Australia to have auto steer on our tractors. And at that stage, it was only available on track machines. But we've seen it now advance to all of the tractors and all of the configurations, and it's certainly helping to drive profitability within the Australian agricultural sector.
Are you seeing that maybe you're becoming a little bit more paper-free, maybe going to a more wireless aspect? And how's that play a role, you know, at the end of the year when you go back and look between harvest and planting?
Yes, look, again, the machinery manufacturers have been excellent at producing good software programs that not only does it help the grower put the crop in the ground, but also retain the information package that's associated with the actual application, whether it be by spraying, sowing or harvest, and allowing later an analysis of the details of the particular crop. And at the end of the year, essentially every farm in Australia that has a yield monitor on it becomes a trial research station. And I think that's something that's really helping to drive variety selection. It's helping to drive methods of application of nitrogen. And it's also helping to drive fertiliser inputs, and particularly in the more remote areas where variable rate has just taken off at extreme pace. So we're also seeing better development of seeding equipment in Australia, and we're also seeing local manufacturing re-engaging in Australia in terms of some of the seeding equipment that we're seeing. So it's exciting times, and you know, Australia, again, we're always on the outlook for something that's new technology, and even coming to this event, picking up some of the other growers from right around the world, some of the things they're doing has been quite exciting, really.
What's about the size of your operation?
Yeah, look, in our operation in the Wimmera in Victoria, we crop around 3,400 hectares of crop each year with a variety of wheat, barley, canola, chickpeas, lentils, beans, We run a white Suffolk stud, which is a British breed sheep stud, and we're producing terminal sires for other growers that are breeding what we call first cross lambs. We run a small feedlot operation, an opportunity feedlot operation for cattle, and on top of that, we're a very much a family partnership company. Work with my brother and his wife and my wife, and we've got now one of my sons coming home. We run an integrated trucking and freight business as well on the property. We hold about 11,000 tonne of storage on farm, and we sell to all parts of the world with our grain out of our local area. Our yields in our area are around 4 to 5 tonne on an average season of growing rainfall of around 300 millimetres. And the pulses around that 2 to 2.5 ton, canola around 2.5 ton to in those years such as this. I'm hoping leaving here tomorrow and heading home early next week to be sitting basically on what you call, I think, a swather over here. It's a windrower in Australia, starting to cut some canola. The boys have been cutting hay while I've been away, so you know we'll be moving into our harvest in very short time. So at the moment, it's looking like a good year, but there's been a frost even overnight, and frost in Victoria, in Australia, is our number one problem at this time of the year. Even though things look quite good, those temperate issues that we deal with in Australia are quite significant, and talking to the Canadian grower here, he's having similar problems in his area, so we certainly understand. And you know, one day we might be perhaps looking at some technology maybe from the scientific field that are here at this conference, being able to help us as producers right around the world with these issues around frost.